As we know here, we're working on sugyas, trying to understand what to do and what even what we're doing, to understand what we're doing exactly. And we pointed out we have a long winter ahead of us. We're learning Torah, Baruch Hashem, we're Zaycha. But sometimes we don't understand what exactly it is we're doing. The chashivas, the importance of what we're doing. And certainly in this generation, and in particular during this time period, the whole political climate in this country is challenging our choice to invest in Torah, to invest so much time and so much energy in Limud HaTorah, not just in doing mitzvahs. Torah is one of the mitzvahs, it's Keneged Kulam, but the focus of the Olam HaYeshivas, you know, the world of yeshivas, is something that if we don't understand it, it's chaval. It's chaval because we're doing it. So we have to try to tap in. And over the next few weeks, last week's shmooze was a little bit tief. I got a little carried away. But I think if you listen to it the second time around, you'll see that it's better the second time. Some things, a lot of my rabbeim, I wasn't able to understand what they said the first time. And I would try to hear it again. And ironically, sometimes I've listened to my own shmooze and I've got new ideas for myself. Try to figure that one out. I can't. It's probably the siyata d'shmaya d'shtibur. I'm saying things that I don't even know I knew. That's probably the pshat. But al kol panim, we started off discussing the chashivas of Torah. And we found that the severity of what we call not learning, you know, when you have free available time, that's the definition of bittul Torah, is when you have time that's available, time that you do not need to sleep, to eat, for a parnasa, and for any type of psychological needs that you have available time. Time that is available. And now you take that time, and instead of learning Torah, you do something else. Right? So now the Gemara calls that Dvar Hashem Baza. The Torah is disgraced. And what we learned was, it's not a problem in not learning. The problem is that we don't have a value system that would make us want to learn Torah when we have available time. That's the real problem. And we brought from the Gemara, from the in Masechta Avos, Perek Vav, that Har Chorev, Har Sinai, screams out every day, there's a bas kol, a heavenly voice that says, woe to the Elbona Shel Torah, to the disgrace of Torah, because people are not learning it. It's not really the problem of not learning Torah mitzad, they're not learning it. It's that if we don't pick Torah, it means the Torah became small in our eyes. The whole sugya is a sugya of kavod. Kavod HaTorah. What does the word kavod mean? What does it mean, respect? So listen to the beauty of the language, of Lashon HaKodesh, that's mamish from the world was created with this language. The word kavod, Chof Beis Dalet. Where does it first come up? It actually comes up in Brachos, in Sefer Brachos. It comes up as kaved, heavy, right? When Avram Avinu had a lot of stuff, he had kaved, kvedas, heavy. What does the word kaved, respect, and heavy have to do with one another? And the answer is you can understand it in the English language too. His opinion holds weight. What do you say about the guy? He's significant. He means something. He's heavy. When you're mechabed something, when you are giving it kavod, what you're saying is this is where the party is. And this is where everything lies. And the more kavod you give to anything in life is where you say this is where it's happening. So when a person has two choices, he has available time, and he has a choice between Torah and something else, he's mechabe that, he makes this thing heavy, hold weight, and he makes the Torah light. The word nikla, which means disgrace, also comes from the word kal, which is light. You could blow it away at that point, because what you're saying is you don't understand the value. And kavod HaTorah is only coming from appreciating what we're doing, which is what we have to understand. But without kavod, Torah can't exist down here. Because Torah can't speak for itself. Only if we realize its importance can it even exist here. A very deep proof for this, which is brought in the Kadmonim, is if you take the first letter of the Torah, which is Beis, right? Brachos Bara. And the last letter of the Torah, which is Einikol Yisrael, Lamed. What is that? So you'll say lev, which is a heart. But you know what the gematria, and this is a gematria that we're mekabel, ish mi pi ish, me Moshe Rabbeinu. The gematria of lamed beis is kavod. Torah is enveloped, is surrounded on one side to the other side. It exists because we make it important. And as much as we're learning Torah, the world can exist. That's why it says, and this Rashi, but we've learned it when we were younger, but we don't understand. This is not a joke. This Rashi is real. It's not just something you say over at your Shabbos table. It says, Yom HaShishi, right? That the whole world is based on Vav Sivan. If Kal Yisrael wouldn't be Mekabel the Torah, then the world wouldn't exist. If we're not Mechabed the Torah and realize that it's significant, so then it doesn't exist. But there's a problem. What's the problem? The problem is, why don't we think Torah is so significant? The answer is because we're looking at it from down here. Down here, you see the world, and you see all the exciting things. Torah is not really speaking so much to us. There are a lot of things that seem more relevant, more important in our existence. Things that, that have to do with anything from taivas to being responsible. Any sugya in the world, it seems like those sugyas are speaking louder than the Torah itself. But the Torah itself brings us to the fact that it created the world. Down here, all you're seeing is, is a projection of everything on the bottom. You can't really see that much down here. You see your hand. You think your hand is a hand, right? It looks like a hand. Your hand is really made out of Torah. It's made out of Torah because Hashem was istakel b'araisa. He looked in the Torah, and Hashem saw the word hand in the Torah, and then he made a hand. That's how you have a hand. And in fact, if you want to understand the pleas of the Torah, so I'll tell you something absolutely amazing. You see this hand? This is from the Talmud of Rav Menachem Mendel Mishlov, who was the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver says that the word yad, which is a hand, just so you understand how far this goes, there are hundreds of examples like this. The word yad, which is a word in the Torah for hand, okay? Why is it 14? Why is the word yud and dalet? Very simple. Sorry for you double-jointed people, this is only for the regular ones of us, but if you look in your hand, okay, you have three joints on these four fingers, that's 12. And you've got two over here, that's 14. Every hand has 14 joints. So now, why is that the hand? If you think about it, the whole yisod of a hand, everything you do with a hand is this. That's what you do with a hand. You use these. And the yud dalet from the Torah comes down and it creates this entity that can go like this, that can do anything and everything. If you watch, all the things your hand do are because of these 14 things. This is a nice little place for it all to go. But this is the yisod. And if you take both of these hands and you put them together, and we usually don't do gematrias here, this is not, I'm not from a Hasidish background, but this is all Litvish Torah, I'm telling you, I promise. You can look it up afterwards if you want to, check me on this. So now you have these 14 and then you have 14, you add them up, it's 28. You know what that is? Koach, power. The power of a man is in his hands. And these are not cute things. These are just, I'm touching on how deep the world goes. So when a doctor sees this, a doctor will see cells, which are also made by Bari Elam, and he'll analyze those cells, he'll go inside those cells, he'll see what's going on by those cells, and he'll see a lot, but he's only seeing the bottom. Because a microscope can't go to the top, it only sees the bottom. So therefore, when he documents what goes on in the world, he tells you that all you need to know about your body is down here. But that's not true. It's really not even true scientifically. Even the science, the pleas, the questions that they can never answer. They will never be able to answer these questions. I was once at a table when I was younger with Gerald Schroeder, who wrote a book. Okay, it's a little bit of a controversial book, not too controversial. He works in Eshet Torah, but he was on the commission for the atomic bomb, and he's a Baal Tshuva from MIT. He wrote many, many, many books. He's a major physicist. And he was sitting at the table going like this. It was a Shabbos table. It was at my parents' house in Teaneck, New Jersey, many, many years ago. And he's taking a glass, and we're like eating, and this guy, he's like, a mad, you hear about those guys. He's going, ding, ding, like to the club. We didn't know what to do. Someone says, Bar Torah, sing a Zemar. And he's doing this, and he's staring at this glass. He says, do you know that if you would compute how distant each molecule in this glass are from one another, if you would take one molecule and another, and you'd figure out mathematically how far away they are from each other. They're as far as universes, as planets, are from each other. He says, we have no idea how this glass or any piece of matter stays together. And he says, you know what the answer is? The Dvar Hashem. That's the answer. Try to tell that to a scientist. Give me a break. You can't document that. You can't put that in a microscope. So, of course the world has more than meets the eye. Even a scientist will tell you that your hand is not your hand. He'll prove it to you. He'll take a microscope and he'll magnify it by 300 times. He'll say, you see, you thought this was your hand? I'll show you, there's something more to it. You see that piece of matter? I'll show you how many atoms, how there are protons, there are neutrons, there are electrons there. Everyone agrees there's more than each eye. So they just make their eyes bigger with their magnifications, but we're going all the way up to the top, and we see that the world is a tief place. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn Torah because we ourselves were made. We're made from this. The Ganze Torah created this Welt. Every Nisayan that we have is the Sugya in Torah. All the bad guys here right now, all the scary guy in Iran, and you know, all of our neighbors over here, these are all Sugyas in Brachos. Every one of them. Everyone, they repeat themselves over and over again. And they're all here because the Torah was Kaveya them here. Because the Torah exists, that's why we have that scary guy in Iran, and that's why we have our neighbors, and that's why we have everything. But if a person's not looking at it that way, if a person doesn't look at it with a little bit of emunah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us something that we could not know through a magnifying glass. That's why Torah is called Torah Min HaShemayim. You know why? Why is Torah called Torah Min HaShemayim? You know why? Because it's impossible to get it down here. You could try for your whole life to understand, to get Torah. Torah must come from Shemayim because it's something otherworldly. If it was something you could look at from a microscope, it wouldn't be Min HaShemayim. You wouldn't need it to drop down from Shemayim. This is something that Hashem told us. Guys, I'm telling you a secret. You know the world thinks, you think the world operates this way? I'm telling you, the world operates on your learning Torah. Every time you learn Torah, you energize every part of the beginning of creation and you pump the world with meaning. So much so that Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in Volozhin, they had a shifts that at that time there weren't people learning, you know, in America or anything, in different time zones. They had shifts to make sure that there were 24 hours of learning every day, because Rav Chaim Volozhiner l'shitasai in Nefesh HaChaim holds that if there was a moment, in world history that someone was not learning Torah, the world would disintegrate, disappear, poof, that's it. Because the world is charged from the Torah. The world was created from the Torah, and the world is charged by the Torah. That's the Metzius. And the Torah always teaches us things that we would not know. That's why it's Min HaShemayim. If you ever see something in the Torah that looks pashut, then that means you're not learning well, because you can ask the question, why did Hashem have to tell me this if I knew it already? And it's not my side that's how you're supposed to learn Torah. The Mesilas Yesharim, in another version that was not printed, you know, as now it was found in universities or whatever, it's another version of the Mesilas Yesharim. There's a special perek in the Mesilas Yesharim called Torah, which is not in the regular Mesilas Yesharim of Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzata. And in there, he asks the question. He says, in Rav Pinchas ben Yair gives you a ladder of how to become a good Jew. He says, Torah brings you to Zahirus, to Zrizus, to Nikius, etc., all the way to the end of the ladder where you have Ruach HaKodesh and you can even be Mechaya Mesim. It's like a how-to book to become a Navi, basically, the Mesilas Yesharim. And in there, it starts with Torah. It says, Torah lets you be careful. That's what it means. Torah mevili deziris. So the Mesilas Yesharim in this early edition asked an obvious question. You can't be careful without Torah. Try to be careful without Torah. Just try to be careful. Try to be good. Try to follow everything. He says, no. There's no such thing. He gives an example. He says, Pinchas ben Yair, right before this, says, Al yeharher bayom, Shemel Yavali De Kari Balaila. A person should not have inappropriate thoughts. And we pointed out, inappropriate thoughts means to take a thought and build on it, not to just have a little thought and kick it out. A person takes a thought and he builds on it. That's called the Isser of Lo Sasur Acharei Enechem. He says, who would ever be careful from a thought? Check all of the great philosophers and see whoever had a problem with a thought. A thought is what we call in English innocuous. It's harmless. It doesn't do anything. If the Torah wouldn't tell us that we have to have clean minds, it wouldn't occur to us. Therefore, Torah had to come from Shamayim and tell us that, by the way, I'm the one, Hashem says, who decides what the value system is over here. And I'm telling you, look in my Torah, and that's how you'll know what to even be careful about. Because if you didn't have Torah, you'd be at a loss what even to work on. Because down here, if you're looking down here like an Amah Aretz, like we said, the earth man, so you b'chlal don't even know what's good or bad. You could write a whole book on ethics and totally be off the mark. Down here it looks very good. But in the beginning of the Shtickle Torah, where everything was intended to have a purpose, it's not like that. It's not what happened. And sometimes it could sound like Torah is exaggerating. It's exaggerating. Like, give me a break. You know, sometimes. Better thrust yourself in a furnace of fire and not embarrass your friend in public. Come on. He'll get over it. So bad. It's whoever gets angry is like an idolater. Whoa, relax. He'll calm down, and then tomorrow's a new day. Why are you getting so worked up over here? So why is it that Torah speaks this way? So says the Maharal in Gur Aryeh. He says that we find that the Egel Hazav, when Klal Yisrael did a bad thing, they made an Egel, right? A little cute little calf. What's it for? What was it supposed to represent? It was supposed to represent, this is Rashi on Chumash, it was supposed to represent the ox, the shore, on the Kiseh HaKavod. That's right. So there's an obvious question. If you want to represent an ox, right, what's the best thing to make? A golden ox, not a cute little golden calf. Why in the world are they making a golden calf? So the Maharal says to Yisod that something that's an ox all the way at the top, right, where Hashem's world is the beginnings of all the Torah is, it looks like an ox. But down here, by the time it gets down, it's like a little calf, you know. Pet it, bring your kids to the petting zoo. Nice little calf. But what is it? Just down here it looks like a little calf. But it's really, it's an ox. And says the Maharal, Chazal say that Talmidei Chachamim speak in exaggerated terms. They speak beguzmos. He says, what does that mean they speak in exaggerated terms? What? They're exaggerating when they say that someone who gets angry is really Ovid Avodah Zarah, when someone embarrasses their friend in public that they've done something worse than murder, they're exaggerating? He says, no. What does it mean they're exaggerating? Down here, when you hear them, you think they're nuts. Why? Because they're speaking to people who are down here. But the Talmidei Chachamim are talking about how Hashem feels in the beginning of everything, where everything's going on. When you embarrass a neshama, it looks down here like a harmless thing. The guy turns a little white, turns a little red. But if you would go up, climb up to reality, the real world, and you would see what's really happening over there, you would find out that the first thing that's going to come up when you get to Shamayim is that you were in the Chadar Ochel, and some waiter dropped 1,000 things, and you scream, Mazel Tov! And it's, just help him, you know. There's always a chakira we have. Some people say that, you know, when you say Mazel Tov, when a waiter drops things, you're making him feel better. I hold it to suffix. It's a suffix. You know, some people like when you minimize things, you just quickly like forget about it. So if it's a suffix, according to Chazal, it's a suffix of more than Ritzicha. It's a pretty big suffix. I would skip the Mazel Tov and just go down there and maybe just help the guy and understate it. And the other guys who are not around, not to help him, because you always know when too many people help, it's also embarrassing. So the guys who are right next to him help him. The other guys just keep their conversation going. That's the way tzaddikim are. Because they live in a metzias of understanding that the Torah is the reality. Not just Mazel Tov, who cares? Life is good. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Down here, nothing happens. But Torah is Koiveya, the Metzias of the world. Someone who's learning Torah is in the real world. The other people are just down here, and they don't understand what's flying. They have no clue what's going on. Absolutely no clue. And with this, I want to say a pshat, a new pshat. It's fresh. I always get excited. Kaste Hashem b'schus the tzibur. New pshatim. A Gemara. The Gemara doesn't make sense to me. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was teaching Torah Barabbin, and it was pashut at a time where they were going to kill anybody who teaches Torah. And Pappas ben Yehuda says, Akiva, what are you doing teaching Torah at this time? Right? You're going to kill you, get yourself killed, get everybody killed. What are you doing, Meshuggah? Mamish Meshuggah. And Rabbi Akiva gives him the following mashal. He says, Amar loy emshalacham mashal. L'ma'a davar domet. L'shuol, there was a fox. That was Mahalik al-Gavanar that was walking on the bank of the river. V'ro'a dogim shayim iskabsim imakam l'makam. He saw that the fish were going berserk. They were jumping up and down. What are you running away from? He says, there's a net here. And we're worried about the net. So we're running away from the net. That's what we're trying to do. Why don't you come onto the land, says the fox. We'll be a happy family living together. You, the fox, are supposed to be the smartest of the animals? What? Everybody knows. How are we supposed to be over there? Tipe shata, you're an idiot. Ma b'makom chiyusenu anu misyaren. If we're afraid in the water where there are nets, b'makom misaseinu achas kama v'kama, we're toasted and roasted for sure if we go up there. So, this was Rabbi Akiva's mashal. He was saying to Pappas that, listen, Torah is our metzias. It's very nice, it might kill us, but you know what? We're water, we live in the water. But I don't understand this. First of all, it's not clear what's going on. The fox would say something so dumb, right? You don't need a Gemara to teach you that this is like, this is not even a good trick. Foxes are supposed to be sly with a good trick. What becalls the grace of Chachma here? The fish is right. You're the Chacham Shebechayas? You're the one they call a chacham. What kind of eitz is this? You're going to get us all killed over here. The fish is right. But nevertheless, we do know that a fox is wise. So what's the pshat? The pshat is pashat. Sometimes you see people, they're brilliant people. They're brilliant. They'll write a doctorate with this fat about and they have intelligent opinions. They have intelligent opinions of why B'nai Torah are irresponsible. They have intelligent opinions about the nature of our situation, Haredi society, that we destroy the political situation. We're people who don't go to war. Whoever heard of a massive group like this that just doesn't participate? You're fools. What are you doing? And these, with fancy enough words, and it's intelligent. It's very intelligent. There's only one problem. You know where it's intelligent? Only on land. People who are living on land, it's very logical that Torah doesn't do anything. There's only one problem. We live in the water. We live in a metzias called the Mayim of Torah. And in the Mayim of Torah, everything that this fox is saying, which sounds so intelligent, come on to land. What are you, you primitive people? Why don't you get a job? Why don't you at least get an education? Why don't you learn how to speak English? You total ignoramus. What are you doing? We say to him, so you're asking us to leave the water? You're called the Chacham? You're the guy that they with the Oxford jacket that's in Harvard and always giving all these lectures? That's you? Don't you understand that we're living on different planets? Everything you're saying to us is so foolish because it's not based on the real reality. The real reality is that we're fish, and in water, the most logical thing is to stay there. And Pappas ben Yehuda said to him, says, you're not afraid of losing your life. Everyone knows, v'chai bohem, you should live according to the Torah. And he says, don't you understand that the entire existence of Klal Yisrael is based on Torah, and that we're fish? We're fish in the water. When a person farshtays that we're on a different playing field than them, there's nothing even to talk about. There's no conversation, Bechlal. They're talking about the land, and they're right on the land. We're talking about a world that's a gateway to a greater place. That's what we call a hallway, a prosdar. They're talking about a place that's the end. If down here is the end, then yeah, we're doing a lot of things that are backwards thinking. But if we understand that the whole yesod of why we're here is because Torah is our metzias, then a person does things differently. Everything, all things come from Torah. The Ramban writes in the Hakdama to Bereishis that Shlomo HaMelech, who is the wisest of men in agriculture, in economy, in mathematics, okay? We cannot do this today, okay? The last person to do this that we know about was the Chazon Ish. But where did Shlomo HaMelech get his wisdom from? The Ramban, you could all look it up in the beginning of Bereishis. I just did it with Reb Shimi. The Ramban says that Kol Hatara Kula, he got all of his wisdom from the world. People would travel all around the world, all the kings and all the people. He got all of the wisdom, he's the wisest man in the world, through the Torah. Through the Torah. Which means Shlomo started from the Torah and then ended up having everything else. And everyone else in the world is just down here trying to grab as much wisdom as they can. They can't understand the Mahalach. They can't understand what's going on. But when a person has that level of emunah to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he understands where the chashuvah sugyas are, and that a person, if a person would realize this, that everything would work out, but it requires an investment. It requires an investment. It requires me saying that not just that I'm going to learn Torah. Because if you learn Torah, you can always be that nudnik who goes, but Rabbi, come on, and like find something that you... If you just learn Torah your whole life, you will always be on the other team. How is there a way to get real kavod haTorah? How is there a way to taste what Torah is? I think that the pshat is that the only way to do it is you have to be inside the yam of Torah. When you're a fish swimming in the Torah, it makes sense. The existence is a Torahic existence. When you try to invest in a winter's man, that's going to be something that's going to be the most pure time of your life. I'm not saying anything crazy. I'm just saying all of us have had things that are antithetical to Torah. A person tries to cut those things down so that they can not just be learning the Torah, but during this investment, this life investment, they could try to see things inside the Torah, inside the water. Not to be on the land and looking at Torah like, oh, I'll learn something over here. I have a kasha on how what Hashem wants from me. You're like a fox sitting at the water and just coming up with very brilliant shtickle Torahs that waste a lot of everybody's energy. But you would understand it so simply if you'd willing to be part of Klal Yisrael, go into the water and start seeing the Torah and listening to what Hashem is saying. Hashem is speaking in the water. You know, like when you're in high school and you have something to say, you go, oh, Rebbe, oh, like for 5 minutes, and then you miss the 5 minutes the Rebbe was answering your question. You missed it because you go, Hashem is speaking to us. But we're so busy yapping about our problems with the system, we've never let Hashem talk to us. Hashem has a system on his terms, inside the mind. And this is a Mefurish Rambam, beautiful. The Rambam at the end of Mikvos, the Rambam says there's no logical explanation for a mikvah. You go in there, you become pure. What does it mean? But he says, even though there's no logical explanation, but there's a beautiful remez to it. He says that the mikvah represents when a person is determined to get pure, and he has in mind to be tahor, he jumps into the mikvah. He says, so too, ha-mechavein libo l'tayr nafsho, someone who wants to purify himself, me-tumas ha-nefashos, from all the shmutz, shein machshavos oven v'deis rose, and krum hashkafas. Kevan shehiskim belibo lifrosh meyosan, he agrees to leave those things. And where does he go? And the etzos, and all those beautiful philosophies that he heard about. Behevi nafsho b'mea das tari, and he jumps into the meidas. Sounds like from the Rambam that the Torah is a mikvah. You don't just learn Torah, the Rambam saying. If you want to be successful, you have to dive inside Torah. Why? Because inside the world of Torah, all the answers are there. And then you'll be able to explain all the things on the bottom too. The Hasidic Rebbe say, you know, a scientist can explain to you why a fire goes up, right? It's a gas, that's why it goes up. He says, but I can tell you stickle after stickle about ner mitzvah v'Torah or, why? Because fire is Torah, it has to go up. One of them is just explaining the robotics of it, right? You know, it goes up because it's a gas. But then you can't ask this question, not a scientific question. But why does it go up? Because it's a gas. But why? Because it's a gas. But why? Because it's a gas. But the whole Torah is about giving depth. If we wanted, we could speak for 5 or 6 hours, just us, our small people, 5 or 6 hours, why fire goes up. Real answers, real explanations. Why? Because we're inside the water. Inside the water, it's technical that it's a gas. That's how Hashem makes it go up. That's not why it goes up. The whole world is walking around the sugya. They're like those guys who all their questions are not in the ikker part of the sugya. I saw a girsa change. Shkayach, you found a girsa change. Wow. Everyone's working on the Reb Chaim in the sugya. This guy's got a girsa change. Very nice. But we're like that sometimes. The Torah has the flesh. It has the real explanation. But a person has to be immersed. And when you're in water, when you're a living, breathing entity, you feel lighter. You feel light, right? NASA, when they want to train people for being in a place without a gravitational pull, they have pools for this, because in water, you feel light. A person who's, obviously, if a person's dead, they sink to the bottom, but a living, breathing entity in the water, he's there and he feels lighter. And it's the same thing. The world feels, you can handle the nisyonos when you're inside the water. When you're outside, you're basically on a leash. All your nisyonos, they're just going to pull you in. But when you're willing to invest in Torah and say, there's something that's really bringing me down, and if I spend 6 months in this base medrash investing with that thing that's bringing me down, I'm watching it. Each person, it's different. I don't know what yours is. I know what mine are. But then that's a bad investment, because that's just learning Torah. That's not being immersed in the Mei Hadas, in the waters of Torah. And when a person has this time, they'll have fulfillment in everything, but it's a process. Nothing good doesn't come without an investment. If a person comes from Torah, then they'll feel the most fulfilled at the end when they go through the process. Yeah, you don't know how to read now? I'm asking. I remember not knowing how to read. That's not what I'm talking about. Of course, if you're working on reading, but it's worth the investment to figure out how to read. It's worth the investment to try to go through a Gemara, because you'll see, the ones who make it through will laugh at the other people how tiny they were. In last week's Parsha, we had Hagar. Hagar was a Shifcha. Rashi says, what does it mean she was a Shifcha? That her father sent her to be he saw all the miracles that were going on in Avram's house. She was a princess. He says it's better that she should be a maid in the house of Avraham than a queen, than a princess. What does this mean? You know what this means? It's very simple. It's exactly what we're talking about right now. My kids come home, my girls, we have Baruch Hashem. The girls come in, they have these little crowns, they were the Shabbos Malka, whatever, right? Oh, it's great. She's the Shabbos Malka. Okay, fine. Fine. How would you like, though, to be in Buckingham Palace? I mean, today that's only a mushel to a real kingdom. But try to be in the palace of Paro Biyamov, okay? Or Shlomo HaMelech, even bigger. Imagine being there, and all you have to do is just sweep the floor. But you get to see all the action. You get to see Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest man. I'm there. My parents would send me there. Paro, who was the king, sent his daughter to put on the maid uniform and to go there. You know why? Because he saw that as much as my daughter can be a princess, it's only down here. But if we get into the house of Avraham, we get to climb to the top. And all of us are looking with our tongues out at all the stupidity in the world, and that's for people who don't have anything other than down here, that's the only thing they're going to get. But if somebody would understand the chashivas of Torah, they would laugh at all these things. So this is the investment. We have an investment now to have emuna in Borei Olam, in Torah min Hashemayim. The Torah has what for us to say? To listen to the Torah. To listen to what it has to say, to try to minimize the things that are pulling us outside during this investment period, during this long, cold winter. We should all be zeicha to have emesa kavod haTorah.
How do we get ourselves in?